Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
This is Radio Influence. The future is now.
All right. Flavor. Please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up. Sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around. No fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels. You don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here.
It's time once again for flavor in your ear. Hope everybody had a wonderful week. I've been busy planning a big summer bash, Dignitary summer bash to be exact. My people, Manny and Gordon, trial attorneys, are helping us put together the event of the year in the Tampa Bay area. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area, June 30th, I would like you to come hang out with us at the Mahaffey. You can get your tickets at themahaffey.com. There's going to be more entertainment than you've ever seen in the Bay Area. The night's going to end up with Pitbull Toddler, the great Mike Calta and his people, burning up faces, as they say, at the Mahaffey. But we're going to have the lovely Hard Rock Girls, other musical acts like TRC, Phase 5, Force Hoffer, lovely Sonia Bryson is going to be doing the anthem. We got three or four different DJs. We have jam skaters. We have Bunny Couture show. We have a whole lot of things going on. And the VIP Touch Vodka VIP Lounge is going to be catered by Eddie V's. We're going to have food from Smokin' Aces, Gennaro's, and a lot of other places. So you won't be able to beat it for the money, and you won't be able to beat it for the entertainment. So if you guys want to go to the party of the year, it's on June 30th. It's a Friday. It starts at 7 o'clock at the lovely Mahaffey. Go to themahaffey.com. And purchase your tickets. They're not ridiculously expensive considering what you're going to be getting. So get on that real quick, and we will see you June 30th on that Friday. So a lot of things happened since last week. You know, I like to start off with a little bit of sports. That's my thing. The big thing was, and we're going to get to the NBA Finals in a second. I think that scares some people. A lot of people hate the NBA. A lot of people hate the NBA. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that. But Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, that's a go. August 26th at T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas. I would like to go. It'd be fun. I just probably can't afford that. That's going to be an expensive ticket. And I was just talking to Jason. It's not so much the fight, because I don't think the fight's going to be worth it. My prediction is going to be Conor McGregor stoppage third round, as Mayweather's just pummeling him to death. And they're going to stop it. And they're going to say, oh, you shouldn't have stopped it, because McGregor ain't going to tap out. We know that. But Mayweather is going to dot his I on the regular. Because between now and the 26th, August 26th, we're going to have people trying to explain to us why McGregor has a chance. I don't care what they say, okay? He has zero is a small number. I get that. Zero. It doesn't work that. It just doesn't work that way, okay? It doesn't. You can't get somebody who's just fast to race Usain Bolt and think that they're going to beat him. You're talking about the best defensive and maybe one of the best fighters, period, in the history of boxing. You're not going to take somebody that's not a boxer and beat them. It's not going to happen. Because, you know, I'm not a Floyd Mayweather fan, but I'm a fan of his skill set. If you remember back in the day, there was another Caucasian boxer, Ricky Hatton. And people were trying to explain why Ricky Hatton was going to beat Floyd Mayweather. If you remember that fight, I remember, you know, like it was yesterday. Floyd Mayweather was just hitting him with straight rights. He wasn't even setting it up with jabs, just dotting his eye with straight rights. And by the second round, I go, you better stop this, because he's going to kill this kid. And Ricky Hatton couldn't beat Mayweather. They fought 100 times. And Ricky Hatton would beat, okay, McGregor in a boxing match. That's what happens. It's not his sport. If they came out and did MMA, Floyd Mayweather has zero chance. Zero. And if they fight boxing, McGregor has zero chance. And now right away they're calling it the fight of the year. It's the fight of the year, which should basically say it's the mismatch of the century. And I was very curious to see what the odds were going to be. Okay. The opening line has come out. And if you're not a betting person, a lot of these numbers won't make a whole lot of sense. Mayweather is minus 800. Okay. So if to break it down in, you know, layman's terms, if you bet $100, you get $12.50. That's kind of steep, isn't it? I mean, I know Mayweather's going to bet a bunch of money on himself, which he's probably done in every fight. And just from the money he's won on himself betting, I bet he could probably feed half a country. The man's got some loot. Minus 800, which is a huge number. McGregor, plus 500. So, if Conor McGregor wins and you bet $100, you get $500. Vegas is pretty knowledgeable. I don't see a whole lot of money going on Conor McGregor, but they're going to make the numbers so swayed to one side that people are going to end up putting money on McGregor. It's going to be giving away money. Now, would it be the biggest upset of all times? Absolutely not. I looked that up too. I don't know if it's one of the biggest upsets of all times, but the one that comes to mind, everybody talks about Tyson Buster Douglas. And I looked up the odds for that. And Buster Douglas was a 42-1 underdog when he beat Mike Tyson. Somebody made a buttload of money. So if you bet $100, you would have won $4,200. It's a pretty darn good bet, I think. And if you bet more, obviously the numbers go up. If you would bet $100 on Mike Tyson, you would have won $2.38. So I don't think a lot of people were betting a whole lot of money on Mike Tyson. And Vegas didn't want to take money on Mike Tyson because they figured they would have lost that money anyways. But so if McGregor beats a Mayweather, it's not going to be the biggest upset in the world, but kinda. Because once again, it's not the same sport. And I've always said this, the best fights ever are a black fighter against a white fighter. And this equation is the best equation I've ever seen, because Conor McGregor is very much like Floyd Mayweather, where people either love him or they hate him. A lot of boxers are not really, you don't really hate, nobody hated Sugar Ray Leonard. You know what I mean? When you hate somebody, the numbers are better because people want to see them lose. McGregor is that guy. He's not hated as much as Mayweather. Or maybe, I don't know if there's any athlete that's been hated as much as Floyd Mayweather. He's doing it to himself in a brilliant way. He knows when people hate him, they're going to pay to see him get knocked down. Doesn't happen, but he knows what he's doing as far as marketing and branding himself and creating a buzz. So these two athletes, I can't wait, you know, for the press conferences. I can't wait for in the same room. And this is what I love about it. Conor McGregor thinks he could win. I really do believe that. I think I've watched a couple of his fights just the other day. He was getting his ass kicked on the ground, elbows to the face, head split open, and McGregor was still talking trash and ended up winning the fight. I mean, he was getting whooped for it, a round and a half straight, talking trash, getting the guy off his game. It's going to be different, brother, because when you have a guy out there with a longer reach than you, he anticipates every time you cock your arm, he's punching you in the face. That makes for a long, long, long fight. McGregor is so tough. You don't want to see Conor McGregor after 12 rounds of Mayweather dotting him. You don't want to see that. It's going to be ugly. Okay, that's going to be worse than any Rocky movie or anything you've ever seen. So I'm happy. I love boxing. I love the competition. I don't think McGregor has a chance in hell. I really don't. But I tell you what, I show enough, I'm going to watch it. I'm not going to put my money on it because I got a little fire stick and I'm going to get that for free. But I'm going to be watching it, and I'm sure there'll be people around me watching it as well. I'm kind of like the hub of really all sports, really, to be honest with you. But August 26th, T-Mobile Arena, Mayweather, McGregor, and I think regardless, it's going to be a fight that people are going to be talking about for a long time. And I hear people saying that Mayweather is just going to let it go 12 rounds and he's going to be... Mayweather is, okay, a confident athlete that has a whole lot of pride. You think he wants to let an MMA guy sit in there with him for 12 rounds? Mayweather is going to want him to get the hell out of there. Why would you want to go 12 rounds? You're just giving him a chance to regain himself. Because one thing I do know, McGregor is going to have good wind, and he's going to be in unbelievable shape. That's for sure. So if I was Mayweather, I'd put him out as soon as possible. The NBA Finals are done. LeBron lost another one. The Warriors won 2 out of 3. Really could have easily been 3 in a row. And we were talking about dynasties and all kind of stuff like that. I'm going to preface this by saying I'm a LeBron James fan. I am. I was also a Michael Jordan fan back in the day because there's going to be comparisons until LeBron's done, and he ain't done. Looking at that Golden State team, instead of talking down LeBron, you should be talking up Golden State because I watch every second of that series, okay? First of all, LeBron James, in a losing effort, played his ass off. He didn't have a bad game the whole series. He averaged a triple-double. Yet people want to talk about LeBron lost. No, come on now. First of all, the other team has Kevin Durant, who during the finals was LeBron's equivalent. Not in his career, but during the finals, I mean, Kevin Durant was a beast in all aspects. When you have a guy 7-1, with the length of a guy 7'5", and he's pulling up for threes, it just seemed like it was either a dunk or a three-pointer. The whole series. Listen, I'm telling you, Michael Jordan, love him to death, had the Air Jordan poster on my wall, had his shoes on when I could afford them, which wasn't that often. Michael Jordan wasn't beat. None of Michael Jordan's teams were beating that Golden State team. No way. It's not going to happen. That's one of the best defensive and offensive teams I've ever seen, and deep as hell. So we should really be applauding Golden State, you know, and not talking down LeBron, because 7 finals in a row, averaging a triple-double, which has never been done before. I mean, he's doing a lot of things that nobody's done before, other than win all the championships. Listen, MJ had a pretty darn good supporting cast, and there wasn't... I didn't see Golden State's he was playing against. It was a different era. It's really hard to compare the two eras. But when it's all said and done, I know one thing. LeBron James going to the finals, that's for sure, okay? I mean, I'm not sure you can't pencil in Golden State and Cleveland for the next 3 years. I'm not sure you can. And, you know, barring any injuries. If Kevin Durant goes down, if Curry goes down, if LeBron goes down, if Kyrie goes down, obviously, it's going to be a difference. Although, if Kyrie Irving goes down, they still might make it to the finals. Think about this. I said Durant was LeBron's equivalent. Without Kevin Durant, Golden State might still have won that. They were that good. Without LeBron James, Cleveland has no chance of winning anything. None. Without Durant, I'm telling you, Golden State had a chance to still win that. They were that talented. And whether you're a LeBron James fan or not, that's going to be the way you look at it and say, ah, LeBron lost or LeBron won. There's people, and I keep on asking people, how come you don't like LeBron James? Because I just don't remember him doing anything stupid. And people are actually bringing up the decision, okay? I get it. The decision wasn't the smartest thing in the world, okay? It looked bad, although all that money was going to the Boys and Girls Club, which I think is a pretty good move. People, that was in 2010. 2010 is 8 years. Come on now. It's a long time ago for us to still be bringing up that one thing. And what has he done since? What has he done wrong since? I just can't think of LeBron doing a whole lot of things wrong, on or off the court. And the Cavs didn't play poorly. The Cavs played well, and Golden State was so good that the Cavs can play well. And they could, Golden State's winning, going away double figures. Okay, so in the last game, the Cavs played their ass off, lost by 9. So I'm big ups to Golden State because I'm, you know, I don't think people are giving them enough credit because those guys shoot the lights out. Those guys play mad defense, and it doesn't matter what kind of game you have, they're going to kind of mold their game to beat you. So I'm not sure Golden State is not one of the best teams ever assembled when you look at the all the individual pieces in the long run. So big ups to Golden State for getting that done, 2 out of 3. And I'll be talking about this, probably the same two teams in the finals next year for the NBA. Speaking of the NBA and Michael Jordan, the great Dennis Rodman find himself in the news again. Dennis Rodman is kind of a weird character to where I don't really get him. If you saw, they had like a documentary on HBO or Showtime, one of those stations, and you know he was heading over to North Korea and he was bringing like different basketball players, and he's a drunken mess. And I don't think it's just alcohol. I just think he'll just put whatever's in the system. It doesn't matter. But it was really kind of sad because half the times he was so hammered, he couldn't play basketball or you couldn't understand what he was saying or he couldn't, you know, relay his message out there. But I guess Dennis Rodman headed over to North Korea. And ironically, it was right about the time where North Korea released that Autumn War Burger or War Beer. And, it had nothing to do with it. Because, you know, the news will come out and say, Dennis Rodman had this guy released. It had nothing to do with it. He had no role in it. And this Otto Warm Beer, his name is, 15 years he spent in jail for basically tearing down a banner, tearing down a political banner, okay? He was confined for 17 months. And when he came back and they gave him up, he was in a coma. So I don't think people just slip into comas just for the hell of it. Usually it's got to be some kind of trauma. I don't know how that all came around. And they let him go for humanitarian reasons. You're going to detain somebody for 15 years for tearing down a banner and then let them go for humanitarian reasons? Isn't that the pot calling it black? Seriously. Humanitarian reasons in North Korea. Rodman ran into your boy Kim Jong-un, who if you read up on him, he's the craziest son of a bitch out there, and gave him Trump's book. I don't know. I don't want Trump's book. I mean, I don't want to read it. I don't know what it says, but when I watch the news, that's enough for me. I don't think I have to read up on that whole thing. And what's amazing is, you know, North Korea, you don't hear anybody saying they're going to North Korea. And the U.S. State Department came out and said they strongly suggest not visiting North Korea. Yeah, nobody is going over there. I've never heard anybody say, I'm going on vacation to North Korea. I've never seen that. All I know is Kim Jong-un is scary. That's all. Parading his bombs around and his haircut and everything. But then again, it's not that much different than our country really as it stands right now. Last week we heard Comey's testimony where he was busting out Donald Trump and pretty much Donald Trump's calling him a liar. Somebody's lying, okay? I mean, either Comey or Trump is a liar, period, because they have completely different stories. Now, I'd have to ask this question. Why would Comey lie? What is he gaining? I know Trump is gaining, you know, he's still a president. Comey's already lost his job. What would he gain to lie? I don't get it. And we went through the whole thing of how he was saying, you know, give Flynn a chance and, you know, be easy on him. And, you know, I don't know where that stands. I know it's fishy. And from an outsider looking in, which is all of us, the whole damn thing is fishy, all right? And for Jeff Sessions, who, by the way, is a general, okay? You're a general and you help running our country. You like to believe that they're attentive, intelligent people. For him to say, I don't recall and I'm not sure that many times, I don't know where you stand on that, but if somebody says, I don't recall, that means you're saying it's none of your business, pretty much. You recall. You're a general. You understand that, okay? Comey was a guy who was writing down all his notes. Every time he had a meeting, he would write them down and let us read his notes. I believe him. I don't believe anybody that says, I don't recall. Okay? I don't. Or I'm not sure. You're a general. I'm sure one of your prerequisites is to, you know, pay attention to detail. Detail is important. And everybody keeps on throwing around the word collusion. And I'm going to put the word collusion right along with the word racist, okay? Nobody's going to admit the collusion. Nobody. And I looked up the definition of collusion. Secret or illegal cooperation or conspiracy, especially in order to cheat or deceive others. Who's going to admit that? Is there shenanigans and tomfoolery? Hell yeah. But nobody's going to say, oh yeah, yeah, we're colluding. Nobody's going to admit that. Nobody. So Jeff Sessions goes up there. Was basically, you know, he said nothing. He said absolutely nothing. You know, I think he hates Trump. I think he wants to be as far away from Trump as he can. But you never want to be a snitch, especially if you're still involved in it. You still got to go back and report to the president eventually. So the president's in a situation now where everybody's scared of him. Nobody wants to work for him. Nobody certainly wants to investigate him. And now they have this other guy, Mueller, and people are saying, well, Trump is going to fire him. I'm like, wait a minute now. Whoa, whoa. So you're going to fire somebody else that's investigating you? Shouldn't there be some rules against this? Now, what's really ironic about this whole thing is, back in the day, it wasn't that long ago, but Comey wasn't investigating Trump. He wasn't. He told Trump, I'm not investigating you, okay? And because of all this going on, the firing of Comey, the rearranging of the cabinet, now Trump is being investigated. Now, for obstruction of justice. So, if Trump would have just let it go with Comey, Comey wasn't investigating him. And it would have just kind of, you know, came out, and whoever would have been blamed, they'd have been blamed. But Trump wouldn't have been blamed. But because he fired Comey, now Donald Trump is under investigation for what he did, which is crazy. It makes sense, but it's crazy. So I don't know how this whole thing's going to end. I just know this, that we're not talking about many issues that we should be talking about. It just seems like we're talking about Donald Trump as a person, okay? Or Sessions as a person. Let's try to help some things that are going on. I mean, how are they helping the American people if all we do is talk about the dirt that these guys are dealing with behind closed doors? That's all we're talking about. We're not saying anything about any issues, none at all. And, you know, as far as, you know, political television, it's never been better. It's never been better for me. I mean, I've never really been involved with it before, but it sure is entertaining. As far as breaking news goes, every night I put on every show and there's breaking news every single night. There's breaking news. Unfortunately, there seems to be a terror attack every day, too. Like, every single day I wake up in the morning, I usually put on Channel 13. I usually watch the lovely Jen Epstein and Laura Moody and Vanessa Rufus. Charlie Belcher is lovely as well. I put on Channel 13, and right away I'm looking for terrorist act. Right away. And every single day, somebody's killing somebody with a knife, with a car. I don't, baseball bat, is something going on every single day, and it's definitely getting scary, okay? And it's getting close, and it's not like it was all that far to begin with. So whatever happens in the government, I hope it happens quick, and let's start cleaning this thing up, because right now it's about as funky as it's ever been before. So once again, my big event's coming up Friday, June 30th. If you guys want to get some tickets, you go to themahaffey.com and get a chance to see Pitbull Toddler. I have a lot of many dignitaries that are RSVPing. All my people from Channel 13 have already. I know Gail Guajardo said she was going to show up. I got notes out to Pam Bondi and some other interesting people. And there's going to be a lot of good-looking young ladies as well, if that's kind of what you guys are into. So do me a favor, get a ticket, and you hang out with us on Friday, June 30th. And I also appreciate you guys listening in. We'll be back next week, as we normally do every Friday. And you can check us out on iTunes and Radio Influence and the whole nine yards. You want to check me out on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook? Everything is at Ian Beckles, IanBeckles. Appreciate you guys listening. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles, and check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's in that flavor. Flavor. Bringing that flavor.
This is an MMA Insider's Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Is there a level of condescension that comes from WME IMG towards the MMA industry?
I can see that. I can definitely see that. I mean, it's... To me, I look at that whole retreat, it's a waste of money to me. I mean, I had some fighters tell me that they were interested in going out there and just seeing what they had to say. But when you look at the aftermath of this, how can you, if you are WME and the UFC, how can you say that was a successful weekend?
It was a failure on many levels. Number one, there's a lot of things that came out that embarrassed the company. I mean, Cajun Johnson getting up during the Reebok speaker's speech and basically voicing his opinion right then and there. Probably not the ideal venue that UFC executives would like something like that to come out. You look at the Angela Magana getting punched incident on tape, world star hip hop moment for the UFC. Not a good look. There's, you know, at least six, you know, other instances where I could run down, and everyone's heard them by now, where it just, this whole thing was a total debacle, and I don't think it really worked. I think it was counterintuitive. Maybe it worked from the perspective that if you wanted to get a lot of fighters out there to check out the new facility and the new resources that are at the UFC headquarters for fighters, the cryo tank and, you know, the training areas, absolutely. That's, you know, if your goal is to get fighters to leave their camps and move to Vegas and work out of the UFC headquarters so they're under your thumb and under your watchful eye, great move. Other than that, this was a total waste of time and, more importantly, a waste of money. You have a lot of fighters there crying poverty, crying foul, looking to get raises. You know, and I came up with a mathematical equation. I was going to go over it, you know, on the show today, Jason, and say this probably costs this much, that costs this much. But then Kat Zingano did her interview for MMA Fighting and basically said, you know, it had to have cost millions of dollars. I mean, your low end, maybe $750,000, but that's people are probably laughing at that because that's very low end. It was well over $1 million.
The MMA Insiders can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and RadioInfluence.com.